Let's just pray one more time, all right? I ask for your help as always, Lord. I just look to you, rely upon you. And Lord, I just ask you that you would speak into our hearts and lives this evening. Oh, Father, I know that one word from you changes forever. And so I ask, Father, that you speak to each and every one that's here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a lot of talk today about goals and dreams and vision, plans, success. You know, there's a lot of that in the Bible, and that's a good thing. But sometimes we just got to be sure that we remain focused, or sometimes we need to refocus on the things that are most important. In fact, if we're not careful, our own personal goals or personal success can become more important to us than what God wants to do in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:9, and I'm going to use the NIV tonight. The Apostle Paul says, we make it our goal to please him. And you know what? That should always be our goal. You want to talk about goals? That's good. Just be sure this one is at the top of the list. As long as this is your primary goal, well, the rest of them will fall into their proper place. But if you lose sight of this one, well, we just miss the mark altogether. Our goal should always be to please him. What if we pleased the Lord in everything we did? You know, I really believe this, that this is a word that if we would really apply in our life and live out, it would absolutely change our life. You know, I feel like a lot of the time when I preach, it's like, hey, this is the most important thing you're ever going to hear. And you know, I know there's, you hear that kind of a thing a lot in our generation. But I'm just telling you, if we really lived by this principle, that my goal is to please the Lord in everything that I say, in everything that I do, my goal, what I really want to accomplish above all else, is to please the Lord. You know, we live in a world where most people just live to please themselves. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3, where it's describing the last days, it said, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, lovers of themselves. And I just got to tell you, if we're really going to please the Lord, then we have to make that our goal in life. We can't just be living to please ourselves. No, we want to please the Lord in everything we do. Consider what God wants. Day-to-day decisions challenge you to live a life that pleases the Lord and to make it your goal. You know, the Bible says that all things were created by him and for him, that all things were created for his pleasure. And you know, if we're created for his pleasure, shouldn't it be our goal to please him? In fact, I really believe this, that we find the most joy, the most fulfillment in life when we do what we're created to do. And ultimately, we were created to please him, to bring him pleasure. You know, we call him Lord. And I just have to clarify again, Lord is not just another term for God. Lord means master. And when we call him Lord, we are declaring him as our master, the one who is in control. But we're also declaring ourselves as his servants, should we want to please him as our Lord. All the servants of the Lord want to hear those words someday. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, then it has to be our goal to please him. And I just want to say, Jesus is always, he is the perfect example. John 8:29, it says, the one is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. I can't say I always do what pleases him. But I want to make that my goal. I want it to be a goal of my life that I follow Jesus in this. See, all who are disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, well then, we have to imitate him in this, that I always do what pleases him. If we ever need a little added motivation, well, we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we started. I'm going to read it in the context of two whole verses there, though, instead of just that one little phrase. Verses 9 and 10, he says, we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. There is a day of judgment coming for every single one of us. And in view of that, you know what? It just isn't even smart to not live to please God. But I hope that nobody here will just live to please him for the reward. Because I think we have a higher motivation. And that is because we love him. Just because we love him, we want to please him. You love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then you want to please him. By the way, I'm using the NIV tonight because if you read some of these verses in the King James, they will say, they use the word acceptable. And I hope that you want to do more than just do something acceptable to the Lord. You know, in our day and time now, acceptable is kind of just, well, you know, it's not good, but it's okay. It's acceptable. You know, I mean, just try that when your wife fixes you a nice meal and she says, well, do you like it? And you say, it's acceptable. See how that goes for you. And I don't want to just do what is acceptable to the Lord. And so I'm using the NIV tonight because it talks about what pleases him. And I believe this ought to be the desire of every Christian, that every day of our life we live to please the one who redeemed us, who rescued us, who loved us first, to live each day to please him. In all of our choices, in all of our conversations, I had a couple of conversations this past week that I just remembered thinking, you know, Lord, what do I need to say? But you know, it needs to always be where we are thinking, what in this situation with this person, what would please the Lord? What would please the Lord? Psalms 19 and 14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Well, not just acceptable. I want it to be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The words of my mouth. Now think about this. Are the words of your mouth pleasing to the Lord? Or are they just okay? I mean, do the words of your mouth actually, is God pleased with that? Let me tell you something. If we're tearing down, if we're being critical, if we're being judgmental, if we're gossiping, I'm telling you, it's not pleasing to God. No, we're only supposed to say that which edifies, that which ministers grace to the hearers, Ephesians 4:29. That's the way it's supposed to be. No, if the words of our mouth are going to be pleasing to Him, I'm telling you, we got to be careful about what we say. But then he says, and the meditation of my heart, even the things that we think about, that we meditate on, that we want that to be pleasing to the Lord. Everything. In every crossroad, every decision, we say. It became real popular a few years ago. It's not a new thing, but it just kind of had a resurgence of popularity a few years ago to say, what would Jesus do? And that's a great question, by the way. Well, let me tell you what Jesus would do. Always. What pleases Him. That's what Jesus would always do. Now, I realize we need more specific than that, but that's how you get there first, is you got to ask yourself, you got to ask the Lord, what would please the Lord in this situation? We can't just do what we want and call Him Lord. No, we have to be willing to do His will, do what He asks of us. In every situation, in every encounter, what would please the Lord? And you know what? That principle so transcends rules. See, the Pharisees were great rule keepers, at least in their own eyes. They were great rule keepers. And there's a lot of religious people today who have their own set of rules. You know, the day and time we live in is, well, it's not much different than the time of the Pharisees. They had their own set of rules. And there's a lot of people today, I guess one difference would be is the Pharisees as a group decided their rules. And today it's really wild because every individual person has their own set. And they would never even consider themselves religious or a Pharisee, but they have their own set of rules. Let me tell you, this far transcends any list of rules. What would please the Lord? Because you can keep your list of rules. You know, and by the way, most people adapt their list of rules over time. You know, when the list doesn't any longer suit them, they'll just kind of edit it, edit this out. Well, I like this rule, I'll add this one in. But when our goal is to please the Lord, you talk about freedom and liberty. Now, I'm not talking about disobeying God. No, I'm talking about always obeying God, not just by the letter, but from the heart, that we live to please Him in everything we say and do, that we want to please Him even in the meditation of our heart. Our goal is to please Him. So if we desire to please the Lord, let me tell you something. You got to find out what will please the Lord. Every husband knows if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if you're going to make your wife happy, you need to find out what would please her. Now, I got a real revelation for you. Especially if we got any newlyweds here. Let me just tell you, what makes you happy won't necessarily be what makes your wife happy. I can explain more about that later. You need to find out. And listen, a lot of guys don't get it. Some guys have been married 20 years and they still hadn't figured out what makes their wife happy. But you need to find out what would please your wife. How much more should we want to know what would please the Lord? And we shouldn't be so arrogant or prideful as to think that we automatically know. To be at least as humble as the Apostle Paul. Listen, Ephesians 5:8-10. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. You know, there are many, many, many things that the Bible tells us that God wants us to do, and things he tells us he wants us not to do. And it's obvious in that regard, things that would please the Lord. And I just want to encourage you that you got to start with the scriptures. Yes, God can give you instruction and speak to you and direct you and show you what would please him in every single situation in life and what to say. But so often, I tell you, he lays it out for us. He tells us. Now, some of you guys, you're thinking, you know, about your wife, you're like, well, she won't tell me what she wants. You can't figure it sometimes. She doesn't know what she wants. But the Lord will tell you. He's already written it out. See, if we want to please him, if that's our goal, and we want to find out what pleases the Lord, then the first place that we go is his word. Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Well, let me just say, first of all, presenting your body to the Lord is a living sacrifice, pleasing to God, he said. You see, if we're going to please the Lord, it takes a total commitment. There's no more living for self. There's no more doing it my way. No. If we're going to please the Lord, we present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. You know, there's that old song. You can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. No, we just need to think about pleasing one, Jesus. Please everyone. Paul said it in Galatians, if I should seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We just got to make sure we're pleasing Jesus. Verse 2, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to know, you can't please God if you're staying like the world. No, you got to be transformed. And how? By the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So you want to know what pleases God? Well, you're going to find out. You're going to learn what pleases the Lord as you renew your mind with the Word of God. I mean, the more that you renew your mind with God's Word, the more you're going to begin to think like he thinks. You're going to understand him. You're going to know him better. And you're going to know what pleases the Lord. Scripture is full of principles that when we walk in them, it's pleasing to the Lord. And we're just going to look at a few passages tonight about pleasing the Lord, some things that the Bible tells plainly that this pleases God. And the first one, we're going to Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. Faith pleases him. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us straight up, very plainly, that without faith, we can't even begin to please God. Here's the starting place. Why is faith such a big deal to God? It has everything to do with his character. You see, when we don't really have faith, it is an affront to the character of God. It is as though we are saying that he is not trustworthy, that maybe he doesn't always tell the truth. Without faith, there's no way we can please God. By the way, Enoch walked with God. Do you know to walk with God, you got to go his way. He's not going yours. Just saying, to walk with God, you got to walk by faith. And the Bible tells us over and over, we are to live by faith. Here's one of the examples, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. This is how we live. Now, listen, a lot of people have faith for salvation, and that's it. Let me tell you why that alone doesn't please God. Because we're supposed to live by faith. Not just die by faith. Well, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. No, we're supposed to live by faith. Every day of our life, we're supposed to walk by faith. It's a faith walk that we're trusting God and believing God, standing on His Word. Oh, what a deception, what a lie the enemy has brought in, listen, to the body of Christ, for people to think that the promises of God's Word and the truths of God's Word and the principles of God's Word don't apply to us today. I'm telling you, that doesn't please God. No, it pleases God when we have faith and we trust Him in everyday life, always believing Him. See, if we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, I'm telling you, it ought to be easy for us to believe for everything else. Romans 8:32 says so. It says, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? So we need to believe God for great things. He's a great God. And our faith shows that we trust Him, that we take Him at His Word. Let me give you one more verse of Scripture about that. Is it really displeasing to the Lord when we don't have faith? Listen to this, Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Don't go back on your faith. You stand firm. You believe. Every day, trust in Him, standing on His Word, believe in Him. Next, what pleases the Lord? Simple obedience pleases the Lord. You know, every parent ought to understand this. In fact, I think every child can probably understand this. When a child does what their parent has told them to do, it pleases that parent. And you let them know. You get a big smile on your face. I'm just telling you, our Heavenly Father, He's pleased. Simple obedience. You can't please the Lord by disobedience. When the Lord tells us not to repay evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good, and then someone treats us wrong, and we show them kindness, we not only forgive, but we do good to them. I'm telling you, the Lord is pleased. Your flesh might not be pleased, but the Lord is pleased. 1 John 3:21 through 23, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His and do what pleases Him. Now I want you to understand something. God never owes us. God, you will never ever deserve a miracle from God. You will never deserve an answer to prayer. We will always forever be in His debt. And we are not earning, listen, We're not earning God's favor or blessing by obedience. But when we disobey God, we remove ourselves from that place of blessing. Listen, when we are obeying God, when we're doing what He wants us to do, then we have put ourselves in a place of blessing. And He says it very plainly here. We have confidence. We receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. So if you really want to please the Lord, I'm telling you, if you really want to please the Lord, if you want to make it your goal in life to please the Lord, then you're going to have to decide that to the best of your ability, you're going to obey the Lord. No more room for disobedience. Certainly a father doesn't reward his child when next, a holy life pleases the Lord. This isn't getting easier, is it? A holy life pleases the Lord. Oh, man. This needs to be preached. There is enough of this wishy-washy, mamby-pamby, sissified Christianity that, well, you know, it doesn't matter. Listen, if you want to please the Lord, you're going to have to live a holy life. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. By the way, he says, be holy, for I am holy. How can he say that to us? Because he gives us the Holy Spirit. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Well, we're just having a look. He says, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus more. For you know what instruction we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn how to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage. The Lord will punish men for all such sins. How many of you believe that? Most of you, that's good. You know, that's the thing about faith and believing. You can believe anything you want to. But you better believe the Bible. The Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. So what would please the Lord? It pleases the Lord when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in a pure, in a sanctified, holy life. You know, so many believers today, they want to know where the line is. Where's that line? Well, I'm all right. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything wrong. By the way, everybody draws the line in a different place, just like we were talking about rules earlier. You know, this is okay. That doesn't please the Lord. Let me tell you what pleases the Lord. You want to be as close to Him as you can get. You want to be as far away from impure and unholy as you can get. It's not, how close can I get without really being bad? How close can I get without, no. No, that doesn't, that attitude, that heart is wrong. No, we want to please the Lord in everything we do. And our old sinful nature, it can't ever please God. It's only as we're led of the Spirit. Listen to this from Romans 8:8. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. See, when your old sinful nature, when that old anger or lust or greed, all those worldly attitudes, when that gets the best of you, I want to tell you something. It doesn't please the Lord. Next. Praise pleases Him. Hebrews 13:15-16. Through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You know, not going to take a lot of time here, but I just want to make the point. Praise is for God. It is not for us. It's not about us. It's not about what we like. It's not about what pleases us. It's for God. And it is to bless Him. It is to glorify and honor Him. And it is for His pleasure. And it amazes me how that it can be such a selfish thing in our day and time, where people act like praise and worship is about what they like and what they want. It's not about us. It's only for Him. And when we truly praise Him from the heart, it pleases Him. You know, I give a lot of the credit for some of the baloney that's going on in the body of Christ today. A lot of the credit for that, in fact, most of the credit for that goes to preachers. This attitude that has been propagated by preachers about, oh, well, you just do whatever's comfortable for you. How about you do what's pleasing to God? I got to move on. Giving sacrificially pleases God. Philippians 4:18-19. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering and accept pleasing to God. And my God will meet your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You know that verse 19, people love to quote that verse. My God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But did you know that that was given to a group of people who gave sacrificially? They pleased God in their giving. You see, our worship ought to just be about pleasing God. Our giving ought to just be about pleasing God. Do I have to give this? I don't have to do that. It's not about what we have to. It's about pleasing God. What would please the Lord? Now I want to close with this. There are great benefits for those that live to please the Lord. Now, there's only been one like Enoch who got a quick trip to heaven without seeing death. He's the only one that just out of here. Now, Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. Enoch was the only one that God just took him. But I want to tell you, for all of us, there are blessings for those who please the Lord. Well, we just read one of them. He supplies all of our needs. Another one is 1 John 3:22, and we receive from Him anything. We read that one earlier. Wow, what a great promise to know that when you pray, that God's going to answer your prayer. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies live at peace with him. That is a fantastic promise. I don't know about you, but I've had some enemies through the years. There were almost always brothers and sisters in Christ. But when people just want to get you. And what an amazing promise. when you please the Lord, you can stand on this promise, even your enemies be at peace with you. You know, he did that. There came a time for both at the end of David's life and his son Solomon that their enemies were at peace with them for a time. And I'm just telling you, God can do that in your life. You can stand on that promise when you please the Lord. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have an enemy, but he'll make your enemies be at peace with you. As David said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Last one, Ecclesiastes 2:24-26. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, say, that's me. Amen. You might have to say it by faith, but we're going to say it. Amen. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I'm telling you, they can chase after it and hand it over to you. All that stuff, though, that's not what's really important. What's really important is your relationship with God. It's knowing him, walking with him. Jesus said, he's always with me, for I always do what pleases him. And I hope my challenge to you tonight, and I myself, I'm accepting this challenge the best of my ability to please him. Let's pray. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for reminding us and calling us, Lord, to please you. Help us, Father, to not be distracted from that. Lord, to not ever lose sight of that, even for a moment. Lord, but in everything, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be able to please you. I pray, Father, Lord, that your Spirit just be upon each and every life that's here. Lord, and that by the power of your Spirit, Lord, as we walk in your Spirit, that you would use us in this world, that others would see that there's truly something different about us, that we are not controlled by situation and circumstance and other people, but by your Spirit, Lord, we live to please you. What would please the Lord? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord bless you. I love you. Please the Lord. Amen.